Well, hello everyone. I am Billy Dees, and I'm here today for HO Press, Shorthouse Books, HumorOutcast.com. That is the place to take a humor break, HumorOutcast.com. Do check them out. On the phone with me today, I have Barbara Hammond. How are you doing, Barbara?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm doing awesome. Really, really good. Very glad to get a chance to talk to you. Barbara is the author of a new book called, let me see if I, Daddy Du Jour. I almost messed that up. Daddy Du Jour. And the subtitle is A Revolving Door of Stepfathers, Bad Parenting, and Happily Ever Afters. Before we get into the book, let's talk a little bit about you. Where are you from, Barbara?
I grew up in Toledo, in and around Toledo, Ohio. And then I left when I got married.
Okay.
18 years old, and we were on our way to New York.
That's cool. I actually am not too far from Toledo. It's probably about 3 hours from here.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm kind of familiar with the area. Now, you're in New York now?
No, we're all over the place.
Okay.
My husband was in retail, and he got promoted and moved around a lot, and it was, you know, good things for him.
Sure.
And in the meantime, every time we moved, I sort of reconstructed myself and
yeah,
had a lot of different businesses.
Well, that's kind of good. You know, that's kind of fits in with modern society. I guess the days of working 30 years in one place are pretty well gone, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you were well ahead of
that's
the curve.
That's for sure.
So what is your career background? What are some of the things you've done?
I worked in retail management, and I worked for a modeling agency, and then I had my own modeling agency and promoted people, you know, for shows and different things. I represented comedians.
Mm-hmm.
My oldest son ended up going into comedy.
Wow. That's fantastic. Wow, modeling. That's an interesting one, especially when you say that you had a modeling agency. Because when people hear the word model, I presume they kind of presume, you know, a gorgeous woman. But usually these agencies and that business, let's say, correct me if I'm wrong, but very male dominated.
It wasn't back then. I mean, we're talking, you know, probably around the early 70s.
Okay.
In the mid 70s, there weren't a lot of men in the business back then.
Okay.
There are now.
Okay, sure. And comedians, I notice you have in here Pittsburgh and Philly. And
mm-hmm.
I worked as a comedian for a short while, mm-hmm. and that's a tough business.
It is. It really is. My son, when he got into it, we started, you know, he met some of the comedians that I was working with, and they kept encouraging him. And so when he finally got to do his first gig, I helped him put the thing together. We go to the bowling alley bar.
Uh-huh.
And so he gets up there, and he's got his little legal pad behind him, and he was like 18.
Okay.
19. And so he starts to go into it, and then he goes, wait a minute. And he turns around and he picks it up and he goes, let me look at this. He goes, my mother wrote this crap. What is this? And everybody laughed. And it was like, after that, he broke into it and he never looked back.
That's fantastic. I'll tell you, I give them a lot of credit. That's a hard business to make a living in. I mean, I did it on
Absolutely.
The side. You know, I did it on the side, but
yeah.
And I'll tell you, sometimes people who are funny socially, that doesn't necessarily mean they're going to be funny on stage, and the other way around.
True. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's awesome. So you have a very interesting background, to say the least. Now, you've written two other books. One was While You Were Sleeping, which dealt with cancer, and then The Duffy Chronicles, which was a children's book.
Yes. I'm working on the second Duffy Chronicles book.
Okay. And I noticed you in the notes here that you say the While You Were Sleeping was about your husband's bout with cancer.
Yes.
Yeah.
It really was more of a diary that I kept while he was in the hospital. He had lymphoma.
Okay. Your website and the Facebook is 0 to 60 and beyond. I'm presuming that has to do with age, not speed.
Yeah.
Okay.
When I started the blog, I was 60, and I've been doing it now for 8 years.
Okay. And 60 is a milestone that a lot of people have a hard time with.
Honestly, I think most of the people that I know had a harder time with 50.
Really? Well, I've crossed that bridge. So.
Good to know.
Yeah, I don't know that it was particularly bad. I think that maybe you have an awareness of your own eventual mortality more so than you do when you're 21. Because I mean, especially, you know, a young male guy, 21 years old like I was, and I was always in good shape. And you feel like you're going to live forever.
Yep.
And as the years pass, you just start to realize that a lot of the people that you were, you know, that were your idols, a lot of your people that you looked up to are starting to die off. And it starts to bring home that, you know, I guess that's kind of the life cycle that we all have, you know, going on. And I from that aspect, it bothers me. But I don't know that I necessarily feel old. But that's kind of my experience with it. I don't know.
I think it's as much mental as physical.
Oh, sure.
And I know a lot of people that are younger than me who act like they're 90.
Yes.
You know, and they're afraid to take a chance on something, or, you know, go off the rails and do something a little bit unusual or whatever. And,
yes.
You know, it's kind of a shame, actually, because, you know, you only go around once.
Absolutely.
You better make the most of it.
Oh, that is so true. Now, your book, Daddy Du Jour, A Revolving Door of Stepfathers, Bad Parenting, and Happily Ever Afters. Interesting, because when I first got the information on this book, my first impulse with the stepfathers and everything was that this was going to be kind of like a comedic book, but it's not that. And
no.
I was kind of surprising. How would you categorize the book? I mean, it's obviously a personal journey, one of triumph. How would you categorize it?
Well, let me tell you how we got that title.
Okay.
A friend of mine, her husband was having his 50th birthday party. They lived down in Virginia Beach, and they had a big, huge party out in their backyard. And we went there, and she had a comedian. And before he came out to do his bit, he said, you know, give me some people that I can like poke at and it'll be funny,
right?
You know? And so he gets up there and then he's going into this whole routine. And then he goes, is Barbara Hammond here? Where is she? And I was like, oh God. And I raised my hand and he goes, I understand that when you write your bio, it's going to be called Daddy Du Jour because you've had so many daddies in your life.
Uh-huh.
And I thought it was pretty funny.
Okay.
And so it just stuck in my head. And I thought, you know what? That's what it is. It was like a revolving door of different, not just the ones that she was married to. I mean, it's like, you know, you never knew who was going to be around.
Right.
So it was, it worked. That's what I actually have that in the acknowledgments in the beginning of the book because I just thought it was kind of funny. And I don't want people like my neighbor who you know, read the first chapter and just said she couldn't read anymore because it was too painful. And I was like, you know me. You know where I live. You know who I am. You know I'm a very upbeat person. So obviously I survived.
Sure. Well, you're obviously very upbeat. You can hear that in your voice. And you can hear it when I talk to you on the phone. You're very upbeat. And like I said, on the surface, the book seems to be about fathers coming and going, but it's much more complex. It's much more layered than that.
Yeah, for sure.
It's also a story of your family and your mother and a lot of the characteristics that she had that led to some of this. That, you know, there's a dynamic there that caused, let's say, some problems for you, some issues growing up. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Well, I mean, you never knew who was going to be around. I mean, you know, she just, I don't know. She always had to have a man in her life.
Yeah.
And I think that she, and my grandfather, you know, my grandparents and I, they basically did most of the raising of me, I think.
Okay.
And, you know, she was kind of jealous of that. And, you know, she was always looking for something that she just couldn't find.
Yeah.
In a man. And it, you know, it just got to be, you know, really frustrating. And like I said, it was like a revolving door of fathers.
Yeah.
You know, her first, my dad, they were married less than 2 years.
Okay.
And then her second husband was married. They were married for less than like maybe 2 years. And, you know, he was abusive, physically abusive.
Oh.
You know, her third husband, she was with off and on for, I don't know, 10 years. You know, just really strange. And then, you know, the fourth husband was awful. And, you know, then her fifth husband that I knew was awesome. And he's the one who introduced me to my husband. And he's the one who helped me pull myself together and get the heck out of there.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So, you know, and we stayed close for a long time. So it just, you know, she just couldn't, I don't know exactly what she was looking for, but she could never really find it.
Yeah.
That was sad.
Yeah. You hear this a lot. It sounds kind of like a cliche, but you really have to be at your core at peace with yourself.
Right.
And because no one else, even though it's very romantic to hear, you know, somebody like Tom Cruise say, "You complete me." But yeah, it just doesn't work like that, does it? I mean, you have to be complete yourself and have somebody to share that with. You can't rely on somebody else to fill a void within you. And was there any of that? Did you notice in her that she was just, you know, there was just maybe something that in life that just wasn't coming her way?
She just had a really bad luck in whoever she chose. A lot of abuse, a lot of, you know, mental and physical, with the different guys that came through the door. And there was nothing I could do to fix it. And then ironically, I think when I met my husband, she just got to be really jealous.
Okay.
And, you know, then it got to be like, she kept trying to get between us.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, anyway.
How many siblings did you have?
I have two younger brothers. One's 9 years younger than I am. The other one's 13 years younger than I am. And I ended the book at the point where Dave and I got married because, you know, after we got married over the years, we had my brothers living with us at different times.
Okay.
But I didn't want to bring them into it because, you know, they've got their own lives now. And,
oh, sure.
And I'm not going to talk about it and share any of the things that went on there. But so, you know, it's just, I was still trying to keep up with them and keep them safe and all that kind of stuff.
You talk about your grandparents very fondly. And that's something that we have in common. My grandparents have been gone a while, but I heard hardly a day goes by that I don't miss them. Mm. And I just feel that in today's society, I don't know that the younger people really have those kind of relationships with their grandparents anymore. Do you have an observation about that? Or,
well, I know my relationship with my grandsons is not the same as my relationship with my grandparents.
Right. Right. And I hear that a lot.
But my sons and their grandparents, my husband's parents, you know, they were very close. But my kids hardly knew my mother. She was never around very much
right,
with them.
Right, right.
So, you know, they had a great relationship with my in-laws.
Okay.
And so that was a positive thing.
Right.
And now they've got kids and I try to do the best I can to be involved, but they're all over the place.
Oh yeah, that's part of modern society too. It used to be good that, you know, everybody kind of stayed or at least close to their hometown, but now they can be just anywhere. I often hear that, and this is true of a lot of the authors that I've talked to, say that writing the book was in somehow therapeutic. For lack of a better term, it helped them organize their experiences and deal with them. And I get the sense, and I believe you've mentioned it before, that this was kind of the case for you as well.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I was in and out of that book for 20 years.
Wow.
I mean, yeah, I started it and I thought, you know, I can do this. But then when it got to the tough times, I was just like, I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to live through that again. You know what I mean? And
sure.
So I'd put it down, I'd walk away, and then maybe, you know, 5 years later or whatever, I'd say, oh, you know, I'm going to do this again. I can handle this. And
right.
then, you know, but finally it did come to fruition, and I was really, you know, kind of grateful for that. And it was cathartic for sure.
Okay.
But you know, I mean, at this point in my life, I look at where I'm at in my life and who I'm with, you know, I mean, I've been living with, you know, I'm with the same man now for 50 years.
Yeah. Wow.
And, you know, I like to say 10 years of wedded bliss, not necessarily consecutive, but,
that's good.
You know, compared to a lot of what I went through, this is like ideal.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting. Since the years have passed, and like you say, you relive some of those experiences. Mm-hmm. I would imagine, I'm just guessing, one of the things that I always feel, my dad died when I was very young, and mm-hmm. I never had a chance to have a conversation with him as an adult. Okay. Mm-hmm. Even though I was in young adulthood, I wasn't, you know, obviously not as mature as I am now. Right. And so in that same respect, maybe now that all these years have passed, do you maybe view those experiences when you relive them? Do you react to them differently now? And is that better for you?
You mean you're talking about my relationship with my mother?
Yeah, just any of the bad spirits. When you say you don't want to relive them, you're obviously, you know, years have passed. And when you reflect on those memories now as a much more, let's say, older, mature person, you know, you've developed emotionally more. Do you reevaluate any of those experiences differently?
Well, I think, like I said, I spent like 20 years back and forth in and out of this trying to get it done. And I guess after 20 years of it, realizing how lucky I am, where I am, and what I'm doing with my life today, and you know, how my kids turned out and all of that sort of thing, it made it easier for me to just, you know, suck it up and go in and tell the story, stories, and, you know, move through it.
Yes.
And when it was all done this time around, it was like, whew.
Yeah.
You know, that's out of there.
Sure. Sure. So as the reader reads this book, as somebody is going through the book, and, you know, you mentioned the initial reaction that your friend had as far as it being sad goes. And I've been around creative types enough to know that you can never fully gauge what everybody's response to what a given work is, whether it's a painting or a book. You can never fully gauge it. But for you anyway, when you imagine people reading this book, what do you hope they take from it?
I hope that if they know anyone that's going through similar situations, that they can be patient and you know, not judge anybody. Because, you know, you can't live in someone else's life and, you know, or go through all of that. But if, you know, if you've not ever been through anything like it, then it's kind of hard to judge. You really shouldn't. So, but you know, a lot of people, I mean, some of the people that I've shared the stories with over the years, I was used to write some blog posts that were similar, you know, they're now sort of in the book.
Yeah.
And people would say, oh my God, that just resonated with me.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, maybe it's worth it to try and finish the book and, you know, put it all together, because, you know, I'd love it if it could help somebody get over, you know, a bad relationship with their parents or a family member or whatever, you know, and realize that they're okay.
Yeah.
They're going to get through it. They got through it. And it's, you know, it's worth it to rise above it.
Absolutely. Probably from my vantage point, anytime somebody talks about personal experiences, are probably one of the greatest values that you can give someone is knowing that they're not the only one who's been through this. You know, my experience is not unique. There's other people that have gone through this, and getting through it is possible. And somebody like you can not only get through it, but obviously you have this very upbeat spirit and, you know, you have that energy. It's very obvious just listening to you. You know, you're a person who's done a lot of things any career wise and with your personal life. And, you know, you're a winner. You're a survivor. And I would certainly hope that from my vantage point, somebody who reads this book can pick up on that energy. That would be my.
That's what I'm hoping as well. Yeah. I know I really do hope that, and that's why, you know, I kind of ended it mostly with our getting married, Dave and I getting married. There were a couple of reasons for that, actually.
Sure.
I wanted to end it there, you know, as a happy ending, but I also didn't want to go too much further into the times that we've had my brothers come and live with us.
Yes.
You know, I didn't want them to have to even think about that and be, you know, be a part of it, because that was difficult. And now they're grown, they're both living on the other coast, and from everything that I know, that they're doing really well. And so, you know, I had to stop it when we got married, because I didn't want to go into all the things that happened with my brothers my family after that.
Yeah, sure. That's very understandable. Now, just to review, the title of the book again is Daddy Du Jour, A Revolving Door of Stepfathers, Bad Parenting, and Happily Ever Afters, a memoir by Barbara Hammond. Now, the book is on Amazon, correct?
It is.
Okay. Now, where can people find out more about you? Do you have you mentioned your blog and website and so on, social media. Do you want to kind of tell us about some of that so people?
Well, the blog is 0to60andbeyond.com.
Okay.
I think I'm going into 9 years pretty soon here.
Oh, great.
It's just sort of a whatever's on my mind kind of thing.
Right.
I used to do a post almost every week, but it's been a while, and I'm doing a lot fewer anymore than I used to.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you kind of run out of stuff to say. I'll say, well, have you read this one? And then I'll give them the link to one from before.
Well, that's especially true in my case, because most of what I do is living vicariously through people like yourself who have actually done something. So
it's not like you're not doing something. I think this is pretty good.
Okay, very good. Well, thank you very much. Thank you very much, Barbara. This is an interesting concept, you know, to talk about family dynamics, growing up with the stepfathers coming and going. And, you know, extended families anymore and the problems thereof are not uncommon. So I'm sure there's probably a lot of people that can relate to this.
I believe there is, too.
You know, absolutely. There's absolutely no doubt about it. We have been talking to Barbara Hammond. Thank you very much, Barbara, for sharing your story.
Pleasure.
And I want to encourage our audience to check out the book, Daddy Du Jour, A Revolving Door of Stepfathers, Bad Parenting, and Happily Ever Afters, a memoir by Barbara Hammond. And I'll tell you what, I want to say my name, of course, Billy Dees. Thank you very much for checking out our program today. And for all of the people at HO Press, Shorehouse Books, HumorOutcast.com, Donna Kavanaugh, the whole gang over there. Thank you very much for listening to our podcast today.